Good morning. Good to see you. I want to talk to you today about the debt of faith. The greeting was excellent this morning. You did a good job. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in prayers, making request if by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise, to the unwise. So as much as in me, that I am ready to preach the gospel to you, who are in Rome also. As we read this, we get the idea of Paul's heart. His heart is centered upon Jesus Christ, and his heart is centered upon Jesus Christ's people. And he's wanting more and more disciples. He's wanting to preach the gospel. Somebody said to me one time, should I be a preacher? Only if you have to. That's when you become a preacher, is only when you have to. So he has a thanksgiving for the gospel faith. I wonder how many of us really sit down at night and pray, God, thank you for the faith that you've given me. A system that I can look at and I can say that that's what the Word of God says, and it fills my heart with everything that I need. And every day I can wake up and I learn even more about God, and I learn more about the congregation, and I learn more about those that are in the faith. Thank you, God, for that. The Romans' faith was renounced the world over. Can you imagine going somewhere and everywhere you go, they say, you know what? Those people in Port Hueneme, they're just as faithful as can be. They are faithful people. They serve God in every way. They're joyous about it. And they encourage people when they come in that they're friendly to them. But more than that, it shows that they love the Lord more than anything else. They have a faith that you can see. And that would be a joy to know that all of, everywhere you went, people said that about us. And so everywhere that Paul went, they were talking about those in Rome, how their faith and how great their faith was. He had a thankful heart. And when you have a thankful heart, you have a relationship with God. And Paul had that relationship with God. He had it through Jesus Christ, and he had it because he had suffered terribly in order to preach the gospel. He had a genuine service that begins with gratitude. That's very hard to find today, people with gratitude. Gratitude for what God had done for him. Gratitude for the people that he worked with. Gratitude about every situation that he was in. In fact, he said, I've learned to be content in any situation that I'm in, any circumstances that he's in. He has a gratitude of heart. And then Paul's sincerity seen in the passionate prayer for the church. I wonder how many of us really pray for the churches the world over. Those faithful people that are, every day they get up and they do go about their business even daily. And they're looking and looking and looking and finding out that the church is so faithful everywhere and anywhere you go, we've got brethren. Do you realize that there are less churches now than there used to be? Used to, we had a home just about anywhere we went. But the church, as we look at it, we have a passionate prayer, and every day we pray for the church. Because it is the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ and the temple of God. So his prayers show him looking for opportunities to minister. I don't know how many people, when they go out to work every day, that they get an opportunity and let them know that they are Christians. Let them know what Christianity is about. I don't mean go out and try to shout the gospel into people, but I do mean people ought to know that we are Christians and that we have values that are moral and that we have a God that we serve with all of our heart and we have a Jesus that died for us. Spiritual service involves authentic worship. People have an idea that worship is going about and the things that we do, and we do worship God when we sing and pray and all of that. But worship is more about doing something. Doing something towards others and having God in mind. And everything that we do should be our worship. It's not just here that when we sing, but more than that, it is when we're driving the truck, whenever we're walking down the road, whenever we're visiting with people, that we are worshiping God, and worshiping God because we're reaching out for people to see our God and to see God through us. And we do our good works so that they can see our Father in heaven. And he is wanting to be productive to all people. You know what? That takes your life and makes you a busy person. A busy person is a person that is going to produce something, not just exist every day like a bump on the log, not just coming here and just sitting here and saying, boy, we did our job. But it's a matter of really being productive, and productive is in two ways, I believe, really three. One, I want to be productive in producing in me the attitude that I should have. Number two, I want to produce in others the gifts that they have and what they can contribute to the church. And number three, I want to be productive so that people can see Christ. If I do all of those and really I am worshiping God in the right manner. And mutual edification. People say sometimes to me, where are the people? And I say, they'll be here about 5 minutes after nine. We are at the Church of Christ. Do we love spending time with each other? That's a question. Do we love spending time with each other? You know, I have to spend quite a bit of time with Paige. And that's the way we look at church sometimes. I am allowed to spend time with him. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. If you learn the personalities of the other people, learn the weaknesses, learn the strengths, then we can have mutual edification as we teach each other. I don't know whether you know how much I've learned from you, but it's a bunch. And my head can't handle very much, but you've taught me so much just being around you. I'm going to tell you, I went out the other night with Stephen and Ruth. We had a wonderful dinner. And I told Ruth, she's such a joy to me because I learn from her. She has a kindness about her. Now, we don't agree on everything, but that's okay. What's okay with me, but it's not okay with her. Okay. And we long for spiritual fellowship. And fellowship, you know, that's a pretty deep thing, really, that fellowship is we're being directed by Christ and we're in a boat, you can say, and we're rowing towards the same goal. And we truly are a part of each other because we're a part of Jesus Christ. If we really let that sink into our mind that when we obey the gospel, we become a part of Jesus Christ, and that our fellow members are a part of the body of Christ, what care should I take for those so that the body is operating properly? We want a healthy body, and we want to take care of it as a healthy body. And that's the way Paul is looking at things. And that's really not the sermon this morning, but I just wanted to make these introductory offers. Paul had a recognition of responsibility. That is the ability to respond to any situation. And if we get that ability, we're going to accomplish so much. Paul's conscience is moving him. That means that he is actively using the conscience that God gives him to move him to do what he needs to do so that he does not have a guilty conscience. A lazy person should have a guilty conscience. Paul was not lazy. Paul was working continually for the master. A responsibility to God, to self, to the church, and the lost. That responsibility was that I am to take care of all of those things. Do honor to God and to certainly start with myself, start with the church, and move from there on in the right way. His fundamental attitude is expressed. If you want to know what a Christian is, I'm going to give it to you in one verse. Right here it is. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You can't get any better than that as far as a Christian. That's who we ought to be. We belong to Christ, and Christ is in us, and I am in Christ. So we can say I'm in Christ or he's Christ in me. It's the same thing. So this verse explains what a Christian really is. Paul has turned away from his own desires to the living Christ. It's no longer what I desire in the world. All of my desire has gone to God. All of my desire is to glorify Christ. All of my desire is to preach the gospel. He is responding to God. In other words, God speaks. And God expects a response from us, and he respects it. He expected it from Paul. There's work to be done, and I'm responsible to do that work. You know what? People cannot do your work for you. We have to do our own work. He says that I might have fruit among you. So he's compelled to go to Rome. Can you imagine wanting to go to Rome and that's the very place that they're going to kill him? But I want to go to Rome, and I want to go to Rome for a reason. It's not just to see Rome. It's not to see Caesar. It's not to any of that. That's not why I want to go. I want to go there so that I can benefit the church there. And I'm sure that there were congregations in Rome, more Gentiles than Jews, because at one time the Jews were run out of there, and then they came back under Nero. So through preaching, he would edify members and save the lost. I want to think you should think about that for just a minute. If I'm going to edify you, it means that I'm going to build you up some way in Christ. It's not going to be that I'm going to tell Bob how good looking he is. It's not going to be that I'm going to brag about how wonderful you look, or how wonderful you appear, or how wonderful you are. But I edify you by bringing into you, this is how you can help in spreading the gospel. This is how you affect the congregation. Do you realize when people come in that if they just smile, you all of a sudden get better, don't you? You're edified just with that. And edification means that we're building each other up, and that means that we're studying one another. We look at each other, and I study you. One of the things I get to do, and some of you don't, is I get to study with some of you that would like to have a study outside of this. And we get closer and closer. His work in Rome was very successful, and Paul went through a lot of pain to preach the gospel. Do you realize that going through pain is really hard? Somebody said to me the other day in one of my classes, they said, it seems like everything I do, they put me down and don't like me. And I said, welcome to Christianity. New convert. Welcome to Christianity. People don't like you. But the church should be your encouragement. The Apostle Paul says, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That is 39 stripes he received. Why? Because I want to preach the gospel. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Why? I want to preach the gospel. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Excuse me. In journeys often, in perils, waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold, nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches. Why are you doing all this, Paul? Why do you go through this? Because I want to preach the gospel. I want to help the church. I want the church to grow, and I want people to know Jesus Christ. That's why I'm doing it. Well, I don't know too many that love the Lord that way. It doesn't matter about other people. That's how I love the Lord, he said. He would go to Rome and he would pit the gospel against the great minds of Rome. And they had the greatest philosophers, they had all of that. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, I'm going to preach it there. Here's our sermon today. I am a debtor. Boy, that is horrible to be in debt. Have you ever been in debt? I have. Used to be afraid the telephone was after somebody. Both to the Greeks and the barbarians. You know, you get upset with people that can't speak well. You don't understand what they're saying. And when you talk to a barbarian, it sounded like they were saying bar, 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 bar. They could not understand what they were saying at all. Paul, of course, could speak many languages. But he says to the Greeks, and these here are two opposite poles, I owe everybody something. I'm in debt to them. And when you're in debt, you want to pay that debt. You work hard to pay that debt. As I said, it's horrible to be in debt. An obligation to pay in the future for a present benefit. That's what a debt is. John just got a new car. He went in debt. Well, Angela did. It's fine as long as you can make the payments on time. But that obligation is over you. I talk to Don every once in a while, and Don says, you know, it's about 4 more years, you're going to have your mortgage paid off. What a relief. Paul says, I can never pay this debt off. You know, the Bible says, owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Paul says, I'm fulfilling the law. I'm going to love those people I come in contact with. I'm going to love the brethren. Why did Paul feel in debt? It's the same reason that every one of us ought to feel in debt. And there is a debt that no one else can pay but you. This debt will end at death. In death because he is saved by grace. I love Tim's prayer today of what God has done for us. And we look and we see, I've been saved by the grace of God, and therefore I owe, first of all, Jesus Christ a debt. He saved me by his grace. I've been saved by grace and mercy. Don't you love to see people show mercy to others and then show grace by helping them? In debt because of his gratitude. I'm thankful to God that he saved me. I'm thankful to Christ that he died for me. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for what the brethren do for me. So how did Paul look at himself? I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, and yet the grace of God reached down to me, a one that had put people to death, and he saved me. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for that. So how should our gratitude be? Are you really thankful? Are you really grateful? Are you grateful to your brothers and sisters? Are you grateful to God? Are you grateful for how you've been accepted? In debt because men are lost. You know what? The worst kind of lost is when you don't know you're lost, but you don't know where you're going. And so many people are there. There is not a person in the world that does not need salvation. We must remember, and I think Tim brought this out in his comment this morning, we must remember who we were and what we were and what we have done so that we can see where people are. Did that make sense? If I see where they are, I've been there. I know what it is. And so compassion goes out. You remember the Bible said that Jesus had compassion because he saw people that needed a shepherd and they didn't know where they were going. And he did. The greatest thing that we can do for any person is to make peace with God, with that person and God. The gospel is the only means that can accomplish that. So I want to preach the gospel. Where? At Rome. They need it. The brethren need it. So you start by being an example. Paul says, this is why I'm telling you all the trouble that I've been through, so I can be an example for people so that they will understand what it takes to be a Christian and what it takes to care for people. You owe the truth to everyone. Many people do not want the truth. You owe the truth if they will hear you. Now, you can't force them to hear you. Once somebody says, I don't want to hear it, well, you won't hear it. But you must try to find people who will listen to you. How do you get a person to listen to you? Well, you have to spark an interest and they have to recognize where they are before you can help them. So here's the question, are you personally paying your debt? Do you remember Nathanael? He went to the man and said to the man, I found the Messiah. Jesus of Nazareth. Well, nothing good out of Nazareth can come. He said, well, come and see. Can you do that? You know, sometimes you don't know, and I'm having to hurry here, but all you can do is say, you know what, I go to church, come and see, come and meet the people, come and find out why they believe. So do you recognize your responsibility? You try in your own family, and usually that's where you go, your mother-in-law. That's not who you start with. But you try in your own family to get them to hear. It all starts with an attitude. So I'm going to finish this up with a story about a little pygmy. And this is a true story that I heard many, many years ago. In the backsides of South Africa, there was a man that had been sent there by a church in California. And he was preaching the gospel, and he had classes every morning and every evening. And people would gather, and there were all kinds of people. And there was a little pygmy that came by that was headed back home to his land, which was quite a ways away. And for the first time in his life, he heard the gospel. And he obeyed the gospel. And he was so excited, and when he got back home, which was miles and miles away, he wanted to tell that story to his people. But he couldn't remember where it was and how to use the book. So he decided that he would go back and find that man and bring him to his village. He went back and it was evening. The preacher was preaching. And he listened again to the wonderful word of God. Then he went to the man afterwards and said, I've walked all the way here to impress you that you might come back with me and preach to my people. And the preacher said, I wish that I could, but I have to preach here every morning, every evening. I've got so many people coming and so many people depending, I can't go with you. He said, you don't understand, you've got to go with me. I'm so sorry, I can't. I can't. And the little pygmy turned, walked away with tears coming down his eyes, finally turned back and looked at him, said, I'm gonna tell God on you. And there's going to be people that tell God on us. We need to preach the gospel. Won't you come?